The battle only takes up three small verses in all of Scripture. King David is fighting his son Absalom. Absalom leading Israel. They meet in battle, and casualties fill the forest. If you have your Bibles, I hope you have found 2 Samuel chapter 18, verses 6, 7, and 8. Let me read from Samuel. David's army marched out of the city to fight Israel. The battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. There Israel's troops were routed by David's men, and the casualties that day were great. 20,000 men died. The battle spread out over the whole countryside, and the forest swallowed up more men that day than the sword. And the forest swallowed up more men that day than the sword. What in the world does that mean? I had to pull back and look at numerous commentaries of scholars far, far wiser than I to see what if the forest swallowed up more than the sword. Commentators have talked about the great forest of Ephraim. It was a severe forest. It was a deeply wooded forest, very dense. Scholars write about the swamps that, especially in this time, would have been there, the briars and the great ravines of Ephraim. One commentator wrote, "Surely in this forest would have been many wild animals and great beasts, and as the men run into the forest trying to escape David, they came face to face with the monsters, the beast." Picture total chaos, a war, a battle, and all of these men running, fleeing, and they end up in the forest, deep in chaos, in the thicket. John Trapp was an Anglican scholar who wrote in 1600 about this verse, these words, "While running from the battle, fear led them to death." While running from the battle, fear led them to death. Fear terrorized, fear traumatized Absalom's young soldiers. Fear plunged them and drove them deeper and deeper into the darkness. Fear brought death. Fear will do that. Fear is something not to be ignored. Fear should not be denied. Fear can't be brushed aside. Fear is real. It always has been. From the very beginning of humanity, fear has been. Adam and Eve, Adam created in the very image of God. Created by God, in God's image, and yet Adam and Eve were afraid of God. Fear, and they hid from God. Not the minority, but the majority of those spies who went into the promised land that God had given, that God had prepared, that God had spoke, the majority of them say, "We can't go. We are afraid of those people, those giants in the land. We can't go," they said in fear. King Saul, in all of his splendor, with all of his troops, with all that he had great fear. It made him paranoid to no end of a young boy that played a harp. Peter denied Jesus. Would they crucify him like they did him? I don't know him. I don't know him. Fear spoke. The apostles, after the crucifixion, hid in fear. And surely the Apostle Paul, after starting those churches, began to hear about all the problems in those churches. And don't you know, he tossed and turned at night thinking, I'm afraid the church will never make it. There are crazy people in the church. Fear. Anybody here can relate? The fear in our world. The fear as we look around our society, the values, the morals, the integrity, or lack thereof. Fear of the economy. Fear as we start to school, as we've been in school. Fear in the midst of race and unrest. Fear in the midst of politics and elections. But does any of that amount to the fear that we have felt since March with COVID-19? I read every day religious news service, Baptist News Global. And this week, I read this article by a young pastor in Oklahoma. He writes, I was on a Zoom call recently with 10 pastors from 3 different denominations when one of the participants, the pastor, shared a struggle saying, I've had deep suicidal thoughts in these challenging days. By the time the meeting concluded, 4 of the 10 pastors admitted that they too had contemplated suicide since March. He says, I was the youngest person in the group, so these weren't young green pastors. These are veterans who have gone through plenty of difficult things in their time, but today's intensity and difficulty is unprecedented. One pastor, he said, her husband had died 18 months ago. She has 2 young children. She pastors a church, and yet when the pandemic hit, she had to stay home and school her children and be there to provide care for her children. Late in the summer, the elders appeared at her door and said, we'll have to let you go. You're just not preaching as good as you used to, and you don't seem to have a vision anymore for the church. Another pastor talked of getting the emails every day that said, if you don't start church next week, we are leaving, and so will our tithe. Then he said, but by later that day, another email that said, if you open church before January of 2021, you won't see me ever again. One pastor shared the story of being forced to tell half of the staff members that they would no longer have a job or insurance because the tithe dollars had dried up. Here's how he ended. Leading anxious congregations amidst a pandemic, in the middle of a hyper-partisan culture, a civil rights movement, and an upcoming election, is destroying the lives of pastors. Literally, pure fear reigns. Fear. Now, it's not just pastors or teachers, but single adults and senior adults and moms and dads and employed and unemployed and college administrators and bartenders are like, they're looking for a forest. They're looking for a forest where they can run and they can hide. And the forest keeps pushing them deeper and deeper and deeper in. And Absalom, if we would listen, Absalom would say, don't go. Don't go to the forest. Fear is real. What are the causes of fear? The great imaginations. Our imaginations run rampant, as my son with those monsters, but it created real fear. Great traumas of life. You've been through a traumatic experience. That fear is real. The great mysteries of life, the great unknowns that we just don't know, fear. Or how about the responsibilities, the things we do know, the responsibilities of being a parent or being a teacher or being a student or just being a human. So what's the cure? Some would say you must confront your fear. President FDR said that. We have nothing to fear but fear itself. Confront the fear. Name the fear. And that will cure the fear, perhaps. In the Wizard of Oz, the Cowardly Lion, if only he had courage. If only he could have courage. Not a brain, not a heart, but courage. So he could roar and overcome his fear. Some say just deny it. Deny your fear and live your life. Just deny that there are any fears. In other words, just lie to yourself and to others who might ask. Someone told me, you don't need to know whether they're a member or not, but as they dealt with coronavirus, their philosophy was just to drink. Drink a lot. Start drinking early and drink, and finally you just sink. And the end of the day and all those fears are gone until you wake up the next morning and they're still there. Or here, how about this one? It's probably my favorite. Put on your Pharisee hat. Put on your hat of religious holier-than-thou Phariseeism, and you just say, you just need more faith. If you just had enough faith, you would never have any fear. You buy the poster and you put it up in your office or in your college dorm. Fear and faith cannot coexist. If you're a real believer, you will never have fear. Oh, that sounds holy, doesn't it? And it makes me a bit nauseous. How about confidence in God? Courage and faith in the midst of fear, where we simply give it all to God, and through the power of God and through the person of the Holy Spirit, in the midst of our fear, we say, oh God, only you take my fear. Do we believe Scripture where it says, greater is he that lives in us than he that's in the world? Greater is he that lives in us through the person of the Holy Spirit than anything in the world. Are you afraid? If you're not, good for you. I spend days being afraid. And I have spent more than my share of sleepless nights, and I sleep pretty sound. Someone has said, what word do you use to describe these last few months? And I say exhaustion. Your mind is always working. Your fears are real. As a husband, or a dad, or a pastor, or just a human, fear. How long, O God? How long? Psalm 13, how long? How long, O Lord, my God, have you forgotten us? How long, oh Lord, my God, hear my prayer. But the psalmist we looked at last week concludes by saying, but I trust in you. I trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation. I will sing the Lord's praise, for God, you've been good to me. God's word gives me the hope in the midst of the fear I needed. Maybe it was in vacation Bible school, or maybe it was in Sunday school so I could get a little star or a little sticker or maybe a piece of candy. But a Sunday school teacher taught me that verse that we memorized, Psalm 56:3, what time I am, what? Afraid. What time I am afraid, I will trust in thee. Whenever I'm afraid, not if, but when I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. Isaiah the prophet, Isaiah 41, God said, when you're afraid, verse 10, when you are afraid, no, I am with you. Do not be dismayed. I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you by my righteous hand. I am your God. Moses was 120 years old. He had led the children of Israel. He had been with the Hebrews through all of their stuff. And the promised land is right there. And God said, you won't be the one to go over. Joshua will. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, Moses said these words to Joshua. Joshua, you be strong and be courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you. The Lord your God goes with you. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He leads you, O church. As surely as God led Joshua, as surely as God led the psalmist, as surely as God has led through all the ages, He longs to lead you. Sometime through the water, sometime through the flood, sometime through the fire, but always in His love. Sometime through great sorrow, but God gives a song in the night season and all the day long. I want you to listen to our friend Jerry Merriman as he sings of God's great leading. Jerry filmed that this past Wednesday. Jerry and Rhonda are not getting out yet. What a marvelous word for us. And the forest swallowed up more men that day than the sword. While running from the battle, fear led them to death. Don't run to the forest. Don't run to the forest. Don't run to the forest. Let's run to the Father. Shall we pray? Well, Father, we do need to run to You. And when we run to You, we know You receive us with arms wide open. You hold us. You carry us. It's so sweet to just trust in You. It's hard to know who to trust these days. Things and people and institutions and all that we used to trust is changing, and we don't know who to believe or who to trust or what to do, but we can always trust You. You lead us if we will follow. You carry if we'll let You. Whatever befall, be not dismayed. What time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Not the forest, but the Father we trust. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.